For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, you'd always have it on.
Afternoons on the Score.
Matt Eberflus with our own Evan Washburn moments ago.
Coach, after the way that first half ended, what was your message in the locker room to your guys?
I told them that, hey, this is what the Score is, and we have each other, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, it is a lot of growing pains that's going on with the Bears right now.
Oh, God. Just grow. Aesthetically, I've got to be punished with that on top of everything else. Oh, I like bad dog food sometimes, but that one hurts. The Bears game hurt. Let's take some calls, Lawrence, on the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Score. Myron is downtown, and you follow the theme from Growing Pains.
I love that Tanny put it up at the end. That's great.
Of course he did. He hit the stinger. What's up, Myron?
Oh, man. I'm broken. My heart is broken, Pete. For real.
Why is your heart broken?
You guys on the new show. I think you guys are doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
Shane Waldron, does he believe in running the football or not? Why is he starting the kid off in the shotgun at the beginning of the game? Shane Waldron has to go, in my opinion. And Matt Eberflus, does he know how to coach a game for real? I couldn't even watch the third quarter. I turned it off and went to sleep after that. My whole day was exhausted. I felt like I went through a 15-round bout.
That touchdown by DeMercado, like, felt like a knockout punch, and it shouldn't have. And what does that say? That was a give-up play.
Well,
that was a man. And Kyler said it after the game. He said, we were hoping we could just pick up 5 yards and maybe kick a field goal.
Yeah, well, so it's not a full-on surrender. It's a partial surrender. It's
an inside handoff.
Let's catch him napping. Let's catch him napping so we can get some yards and get a field goal. But, yeah, no, that's terrible. You know what?
Catching the Bears napping at end of half or end of game situation seems to be fairly easy.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? After halftime, because you think that made Myron go to sleep, like to get to turn off the game and go to sleep. They come back after halftime. Bears go 3 and out. Then Arizona goes 13 plays to set up a field goal. Make it
13 plays, 7 minutes, 54 seconds of just, we will do whatever we want.
Whatever we want. And so then the next Bears possession ends up with them having to go for it on fourth downs already. Your second possession of the second half, you're going for it on fourth downs because you're already down 15. And they turn it over on downs. Arizona gets another field goal. It's 27-9, and it's over. You know? It's just absolutely brutal. This is Sean in Romeoville. You're on Spiegel and Holmes. What's up, Sean?
Oh, hey, guys. Hey. I know I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but just looking at the future, man, I'm worried about the dysfunction that continues because it's likely that Eberflus is gone. And if that's the case, now you're looking at three straight first-round quarterbacks, unproven, who won't be aligned with their head coach and GM. And I think Caleb's a lot better than those guys, but you see how that worked out in the past. So the trend continues. And now I'm starting to see why a lot of people thought Eberflus should have been fired last year.
Yep.
And I think it's, now that I think about it, it's kind of sad that the guy saved his job because he could call defense. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator. He was supposed to be good at that. But I think it was negligent to entrust Caleb's development to Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. I think it was negligent. And I just hope that I hope he's special enough to overcome what's ahead of him because it looks like a regime change in terms of coach is coming. I just hope he's special enough to overcome it.
Sean, yeah, man. Like, and I was one of those guys who was arguing for Eberflus to stay the head coach. And that's why I had to point the thumb last week and say I was wrong, not just because Eberflus has shown what he is, but because it does line up for a repeat of all the dysfunction. And as good as I think Caleb can be, it is going to be a new head coach who we're going to have to trust is all in with Caleb, and we're going to have to deal with all of those kind of conversations and all that crap. And you got a guy who's going to have now his second offensive coordinator in year two, without a doubt. And that feels so stupid and samey and Bearsy, and nobody wants to live it again.
Well, the good news is, and maybe you would find a coach who would say this, or a draft person that would say this. I doubt it. But the good news is that you're not going to be in a place where you could go ahead and draft Caleb's replacement anyway. And the two guys that you hear most being talked about at the top of the draft, Shedeur and Jalen Milroe, I don't think that those guys are better than him. So at least there's that. At least there's, well, it's not like the new coach is going to come in and be like, oh, well, I really wanted Carson Beck, but I'm stuck with Caleb Williams. Like, if that's how they think, then that's probably a bad hire too.
Let's go to Damon in River Forest. Damon, you're on the score. What's happening?
What's up, gentlemen? Love the show. You know, I agree with everybody. I don't have any big breaks on the Bears, and Flus needs to be fired. They don't throw it Komet. They don't do anything right. But I'm having more of an existential crisis. I've got a 9-year-old son who is my best friend, and this is the first year he's really been into football. Took him to the first Bears game, got him a Caleb Williams jersey. And for the last 2 weeks, he has seen his father, the torment that I go through on a regular basis. And yesterday in the fourth quarter, with about 5 minutes to go, he said, Dad, can we just turn off the game? And I said, Sam, you got to watch this. I go, we can't turn it off. I go, I know you're looking at me like I'm purple. I know I've been screaming. But this is what it's like to be a Bears fan. So you need to choose if this is going to be your future. That's what I told him. We had it's our first man-to-man talk. I don't know what he's going to do.
Maybe perhaps, though, you should have taken the lead from him, though. Maybe you should have turned the game off gone for a walk. Because he seemed to get it right.
Damon, you want him to feel your pain. You want him to fully understand what your life has been.
You don't have to doom him to your mistakes. You can change it.
I wrote a letter to George McCaskey 2 years ago with a picture of my son holding a Tampa Bay Buccaneers cookie on it. It was a 3-page letter, and I said, George, whether or not my son's going to be a Bears fan isn't up to me. It's up to you. And, you know, he's answered that question. I feel bad for Caleb Williams. He can't hit the long ball. He's got no time. It's a dumpster fire, and it's too late for me. Maybe for my son, he has options.
But how about this? You should let him exercise some of those options. So the next time that the next time he wants to turn the game off, turn the game off.
Now, Damon's trying to play out his own life through his son in a way that feels borderline unhealthy. I'm not going to lie.
There's no borderline about it. He basically told his son, the son was like, I'm not feeling this. And he's like, well, you have to live through it because I did. No, break that family curse, sir. Break that family curse.
Oh, man. No. Here, this tastes awful. I've hated this my whole life. Now you eat it.
The young man clearly prefers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, himself a cookie. Yeah, you're bringing George McCaskey into this like this is his problem?
I think Damon threw that cookie at his son and had him use it as a prop. Mark Grody's next. He's got our Bears hit. Big pile of tape with Mark Grody.
Two words.
Coming up next here on 670 The Score.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.